Hi, my name is Kibali. Welcome to the Ari Diaries podcast.
My name is Chaxi, and I'm Kibali's friend, so that's why he has me here. Basically, he has friends over on this podcast. No, but I'm Chaxi for real. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Because everything else is just like an extension of me.
Yeah.
But Chaxi is the person you're hearing now.
Okay.
Yes.
Where did the name Chaxi come from?
Damn, bro. I had dreams of being a rapper.
Okay.
So, two cousins of mine and myself, all of us were called Chacha.
Yeah.
We had like a small boy group in primary. This is like lower primary.
Mm.
And then we used to go by Tri Chaxi because we were Chachas and it was three of us. Yeah. And there's a CD somewhere. We recorded a bunch of stuff.
We just need to find it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very scratched now.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where that comes from.
So what role were you playing in that group?
I was just a rapper. I was the youngest. I didn't really have much direction. I didn't know what it is that we're doing.
Yeah.
I think I just gravitated towards the older cousins who are in the school that I had joined. Yeah. I was rapping.
And what school was this?
This is back in Korea. The school was called... Are you ready?
Yeah.
It was called Hero BCM Preparatory School. Kimali is looking at me like, what the actual fuck?
Hero
and BCM.
Yeah.
BCM was an abbreviation for someone's name.
Yeah.
Benjamin Chacha Maisori.
So this was your family school?
No.
Okay.
This is a school, like this is an actual school that is still present.
But then it has the name Chacha in it.
Chacha is quite a common name.
Okay.
It means firstborn son.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of Chachas. I'm not the only Chacha.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not everyone who's called Chacha is related to you?
Probably related to me. No, I'm missing. Nah.
Okay. Yeah. So a name for firstborn. So you're the firstborn?
Firstborn son.
First
so you could
son.
Be the last born, but you're
but
the
you're
only
the, you're
son.
The only like, son.
Yeah, I'm the only son.
Then you're called Chacha.
Yes.
Okay. How many siblings do you have?
Kibali. Did someone send you to ask me this?
No,
question?
No. I'm trying to get a picture of your background. Okay.
Oh, so, got you. I have three siblings, all sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You went. So you said you went to Benjamin Chacha.
I went to Hero BCM.
Hero BCM Preparatory School.
Yes.
Okay. Now where did you go to high school?
Kanga School.
Kanga School.
Yes.
Where is that?
Rongo.
In Rongo.
Yes.
Interesting.
That is South Nyanza.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who else did we have that went to a school in Rongo?
Who else, like from your circle?
No. We had a guest, Florence. Mm. I was trying to remember who that was.
But Florence.
She went to the university that she went to is in Rongo. So that's our central
Rongo University.
There's a university. I've forgotten what the name is. I think it's an extension of Moi University.
Got you. So like a satellite campus.
Yes, but then I think it became fully constituted a year or so ago. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And then, so what were you like in high school? Because clearly you were not rapping, so.
No, I wasn't. I had maybe different phases.
Mm.
When I joined, I was... let me see. I think I was very book smart.
Mm.
So I would get off easily as the guy who didn't say much, but I was very book smart. I was into sports. I used to play football. So I think the football team is the first thing I joined when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And then in form two, almost said second year. I had like a bad knee injury.
Yeah.
So I sidelined football because I think I just didn't take good care of it, like my left knee, so I couldn't play as much. Each time it kept snapping. So when I sidelined football, this is now when maybe everything else that you know about Chaxi started. So that's where the interest in art, that's where the interest in media and art and... You know, joining journalism club and starting to do events back in high school.
Yeah.
Hosting all the gigs in school. I was still a prefect, so I had my way around school.
Yeah.
It was easy to do things. Yeah.
Okay, so this was in form two. around in, form two, form three?
Form three. Yeah. Because form two is when I was still trying to play football, but my knee kept snapping.
Okay.
So say form three is when properly, like yeah. very actively, yes.
And then you went to KU.
Then I went to KU, yes.
Okay. What were you studying in KU?
I was studying telecommunications engineering.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have found yourself doing what if you had continued with that path?
So the thing is, I had never ever wanted to join uni.
Yeah.
So uni, I remember joining uni and I was clueless. I had no understanding of how uni works.
Mm.
Or what uni really was.
Yeah.
Because all my life, I wanted to go to aviation school.
Yeah.
So I was really focused and I knew that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
So, meaning, I'm not going to university. Like, I didn't even know how uni works. So, you can imagine how blonde I was in first year when I get KU. I'm like, what the actual F?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that didn't pull through.
Mm.
Shit is expensive, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford it. And then there was a program I was supposed to join that later changed the criteria in which they were picking guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I opted. So uni was the other option I had.
Yeah.
And so telecommunications is what I thought I wanted to do.
Okay.
Mm.
And when you did, so you chose that or you were picked for that?
I chose it.
And what was your intention to do telecommunication engineering? Like what was your... The audience can't see what I'm doing.
Yeah,
but
yeah. You're just pointing your hand. So, to the corner.
Yeah.
The intention, I think what happened is I realized the aviation thing wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I still needed to pursue maybe higher education in quotes.
Yeah.
So when I looked at whatever courses were available, that is what I felt that I liked. That's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
So
you would have become, if you did aviation, you would have become...
A telecommunication, for sure, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then, it didn't last too long. I got bored.
Okay. So did you finish?
No.
Mm.
I did 2 years.
And then you were done.
Then I opted out. I didn't drop out. I opted out.
Okay.
I chose to, yeah.
You deferred.
I deferred the semester.
Yeah.
I just didn't see, it wasn't working for me and then I was so broke.
Yeah.
So it didn't make sense for me to just be in school. So I deferred and then I just never went back.
You just never went back. The story of many people.
Yeah. But they'll give me an honorary degree one day.
Of course.
Yeah.
They'll probably give you an honorary PhD or something.
Trust.
Yeah.
Trust.
Or, happens, doctorate.
When that happens, make sure you post this bit. They'll give me a doctorate.
It's too early. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then
Dr. Jaxi.
So while you were in KU, you still sort of started to go deeper into like media and events and things like that, no?
Yeah. Yes. I didn't realize that, like it wasn't intentional. It's maybe I think again something that I just found myself naturally gravitating towards. Because when I joined, the first thing I did is I did salsa. That's what I used to do first year. I did salsa. So
you know, I suddenly feel like I know nothing about you.
So you don't. So I did salsa. Then I had some homies of mine from high school who were in this. Journalism with them in high school, who we ended up being in KU at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's this guy called Oscar. I used to call him Maruk. I don't know why I used to call him that.
Mm.
But there's this guy called Oscar who kept reminding me, like, dude, you know, I thought you're going to, you know, end up doing media, blah blah blah. So he kept just nagging me.
Yeah.
And then it was just one of those things you nag a friend about and it's never really...
So basically your ancestors were speaking through him.
I guess.
Okay.
I guess, yeah. Then there was this thing KTN did called The Presenter Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
So Oscar again made me...
Audition
for that.
Okay.
So I auditioned. Then I was in the last 30... So we had to do... So the first audition, if you watch the auditions, I don't know if they're still online, there was the first audition now that had everybody. I was in that queue. It was so long, I didn't even understand why I was there. Because I was there from early in the morning, I auditioned like at 4.
Okay.
There was thousands of people. So that's now where it begins actively.
Kenyans love long queues. It's a thing.
I think there's a thing about queues.
Yeah, yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah. So that went well. So I made it to the last 30. I now did like the second round of auditions. And then that's now when I was like, oh shit,
this is something.
So I got some validation that I didn't know I needed.
Yeah.
So that pushed me, and I was like, shit, so let's do this. So when I was there, I met some guys who, like Andy Young, who's at Homeboys now. Mm. There's DJ Nish, who's at Energy. So those are the guys I formed friendships with. Yeah. And then I found out they were in USIU, and the USIU had a radio. And they told me, I see even Kayo has a radio. I didn't know Kayo had a radio. So I found,
until
I found
that
out
moment.
From, yeah.
Yeah.
So I went back to school. There was a radio. I went to the station, asked if they're checking new presenters. I had interest. They were like, we actually have an audition next week, Friday. So the following week, Friday. So I showed up for the audition. Guess who was auditioning me? Someone you know.
Who?
Jean Claire.
Oh, she was a station manager?
No. Mm. She was one of like the senior presenters. So when they were... the way the station would do auditions is that they had the station managers, but then they'd find some of the senior presenters who would help audition.
Okay.
So June Claire is the one who auditioned me.
Okay.
That's how I know June.
That's how you became friends.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So and that's where it begins.
That's where it begins. Mm. And then what? So how long were you in KU Radio?
Okay. I joined April. Mm. I think I joined April. Mm. Then the long holiday begins.
Yeah.
The way public unis run, May till August is the long holiday, right? So joined in April. I was doing a lot of production. I didn't have like a show because most of the shows are taken. The slot that was available, I didn't want to. So in long holiday, guys left.
Yeah.
Because it's students. No one is being paid. So guys come whenever they want. So when guys left, I got a chance now to either do the drive, which was the evening show, or the night show from 7.
Mm.
So I picked the drive, and I did that from May. October, I got bored again. I left.
You left the station or left school?
I had left school, but like just I never. I was in school, but not in class. Does that make sense? Because I was in school doing radio and doing events. I used to do events in KU still. So I was in school, but not exactly studying. I was doing other things in school.
You're doing other things.
Yeah. So when I left radio. Mm. I don't know what happened, and I also stopped doing. I used to do a lot of activations. There's a place called Annex in school,
mm-hmm.
and then we used to do gigs as well.
Yeah,
like just within the school.
Yeah.
So I think I left radio. Then I did two more gigs because I was part of the team that used to
organize
for the Culture Week. So I think that's the last gig I did, and then I didn't have any other reason to go to school because I wasn't doing radio. I started doing industry nights in Galileo. So I think that's how I started drifting out of school. So the event stopped, and radio as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it became such a routine. I wasn't enjoying it anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like the things I had set out to do, I had done everything that I wanted to do, and there was nothing new to do.
Okay.
The station, I didn't feel like I was
growing.
I was growing in it. And so I just left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And went into industry night.
Yes.
So were you organizing, or you were part of the organizing team, right?
I was managing the event.
You were managing the event. So how long were you with Industry Night? Actually, speak about Industry Night for somebody who might listen and they don't know about it.
So just to remember, because this is 2015 and I'm doing radio. I leave around October. By the time I leave radio, I'm already part of the team for Industry Night.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think I start managing the gig officially that year, maybe around November. Maybe a month. I think I did one gig and then I started managing the gig from the second gig. So Industry Night used to be a monthly gig that used to happen every first Thursday of every month in Galileo. And it was a night to celebrate Kenyan music.
Okay.
So that's the only night I remember. I've not seen such a night again in Kenya. That's the only night you'd come and you'd find everyone from within the industry.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Actors.
It was a very progressive idea.
It was a very progressive idea. And especially because it was curated around Kenya and we had performances. So like literally guys would just come to hang out.
Yeah.
So you'd find everyone. Politicians started to gain interest. I think that's the first time I ever saw like Moses Kuria. You know, they would just come and do thing, give out money.
Mm.
So that's what we used to do. We'd curate the gig around having... We'd have established, what we call established musicians, and then we'd have a lot of the up and coming. So that's again where now I begin to meet a lot of the musicians that maybe I work with now.
Yeah.
Because that's when they were beginning. Yeah. So that's how I tapped into this other scene.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, because I found out such dope musicians
exist.
I didn't know about. And then I was like, shit, kumbe, there's an entire scene that has just been buzzing and they just needed more avenues like Industry Night.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. I performed at Industry Night, but I don't remember who I performed with.
Galileo?
Yes.
You sang?
Yes.
Jeez.
I just don't remember who it was with. But it was one of those, it was an acoustic session.
Was I there?
I don't remember meeting you.
You don't remember seeing this cute guy?
No.
Damn.
No, because I think we met in 2016, if I'm not wrong.
I think so as well.
Yeah.
And that's when I'd left Industry Night.
Yeah, but it must have been 2016 when I was at 910.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's how I met you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through a rush.
Yes.
Awesome. Who I met in KU Radio.
at least that I knew. That I knew. Yeah. So you left Industry Night and then what did you do next?
Left Industry Night. Just wasn't working. Mm. And then me and Sheila had a lot of disagreements. So when I left, I didn't leave because I had somewhere to go. I just left because it wasn't working.
Yeah.
Then I had met somebody. So when we booked, because you know Stella doesn't live in Kenya.
Okay.
So when Stella was around, when we got word that Stella Mwangi was around,
yeah,
and we had an Industry Night coming up.
You know, you're talking about Stella. In my mind, I'm just like, which Stella?
STL.
I know like 10.
Stella Mwangi.
And 9 of them don't live in Kenya. So I was very confused.
Okay. I mean Stella Mwangi.
Okay.
Yeah. Because she prefers being called Stella Mwangi instead of STL.
Yeah.
So we got word that she was in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an edition coming up. So we wanted to book Stella. So I met a guy called Timothy Adeka, who was her manager at the time.
I remember Tim.
You remember Tim?
Yes.
So who was the manager at the time?
Yes.
So I think me and Tim kicked it off. Mm-hmm. So we didn't lose communication after that. And this is now still 2015. I was still doing radio. Because I remember that night I met Stella. We spoke. We had a good conversation. She came to my radio show. Blah, blah. So after I left Industry Night, I think I got a call from Tim.
Yeah.
So Tim calls me and he's like, yeah, just checking in. What are you up to? Blah, blah, blah. Then he tells me there's this thing I want to begin called Soundset Africa, like an agency for arts, blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to see if you're interested. You could see, blah. So that happens. So I leave Industry Night, then I end up working with Tim.
Yeah.
So we do the last Sportpesa Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, now he decides he wants to fully open his company. So I basically helped him to set up the company, Soundset. And then he fired me. That's the only time I've been fired, by the way.
As life goes.
As life goes.
Okay.
Yeah, then around the same time, everything is so interconnected. So when I was doing radio, I'm doing Industry Night.
Yeah.
I had approached Red Bull for sponsorship of Industry Night.
Yeah.
So I met a lady called Vienna, and I think we got sponsorship from Red Bull. And then we just kept tabs, basically. Then one day I also get a call from Vienna. She's like, there's this thing we want to do. There's this thing we have running, a student program for Red Bull.
Mm.
And the guy who was representing KU is almost leaving school. So we're looking for a replacement. And you are doing events and radio. You feel like you understand the scene.
The requisite skills.
Yeah, there you go. So the guy who used to, because I knew about the job.
Yeah.
Because on radio, the guy I picked the show from the drive show, was called Anthony. He used to do the show with Erosh.
Okay.
So then they were leaving radio when I was joining.
Yeah.
Then Anthony, I became homies with Anthony. And then he used to do work for Red Bull within uni. So I pretty much had an understanding of what he did because I helped him to do a few of the things. So I understood the role.
So basically nothing is in vain in life.
Nah, bro. Nothing, yeah. Nothing. So when I leave Soundset, immediately I joined Red Bull.
You get a call. Yeah.
Everything was just, like I would just leave and something else would find me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's how Red Bull comes about.
Okay.
Mm.
And so you started with the KU program, the student program.
Yes.
And then how did you transition into now what you do now?
So I used to be their rep for KU, right?
Yeah.
Then they were hiring. They were looking for someone who could look after like the nightlife.
Okay.
For Red Bull.
Yeah.
So clubs, events, restaurants.
So basically a job made for you.
Another job basically made for me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll apply. So I applied, did my interview with like HQ. And then I think like 2 weeks later, I got an email that had been confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened.
And while you were in KU, were you only dealing with KU or were you also dealing with other universities?
No, just KU.
Just KU.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Then you moved into like the nightlife. I'm trying to, your role is very interesting to, you know, to grasp because a lot of people think that you're involved with events, but you're not really.
No. Events is a small bit of it.
It's a small
I
bit
think,
of it.
I think maybe just draw in some context.
Yeah.
In trade, especially, because now Red Bull, we're talking about beverages.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at trade in two ways. There's off-trade or off-premise, and then there's on-trade or on-premise.
Yeah.
So I'm in charge of on-premise or on-trade. What that means is that product is consumed within the premises.
Okay.
So you think about bars, restaurants. No one goes to the bar to buy a drink to go take home, you know. Events, same thing. So the product is sold and consumed within the premises where you buy it.
Yeah.
Then off-trade is now like supermarkets, Dukas, convenience stores, where you just buy to consume elsewhere.
Yeah.
So my department is on-premise.
Okay.
So those venues where you purchase the product and you consume it from the premises.
Okay. Yeah. And what have been some of the things that you have enjoyed doing while doing on-premise?
For Red Bull.
Yeah.
I think even maybe some, the main reason why I'm still there like currently is because as I get more exposed to more things within the industry, as I speak to more people, as I see what's happening in front of me and not hearing from anyone, because now I was deeply involved. So the more I got exposed to that, the more it also shaped in my head of exactly what I want to do, you know.
Mm.
And that's now where Upside is born and all these other things.
Yeah.
So the more clarity I get and the more understanding of how far I want to go with this and what I want to do, then that's when I start to realize that it's very essential to be on both sides. You know, like I'm the guy in the boardroom now, but also I'm the guy who's
on ground, dealing with people, dealing with premises, businesses. Yeah.
And also just the fact that now I could be in the Red Bull office, deciding sponsorship for something, and then tomorrow I could be in another office looking for sponsorship. So, when that became clear in my head, I understood how essential it would be for everything else that I want to do, to have that understanding of how everything works. Because now, if you think about the convergence of that, that's where really where the magic happens. And so I it became a bit more intentional, you know, and the experiences, the things I've learned and I'm still learning up to date are things that will forever just help me in line of business and the things I'm doing on the side,
Okay. So, and then you started Upside, which is really now the foundation of this conversation. Tell us about Upside. Why the name? Where the idea came from? You know?
So, this is how Upside happens.
Yeah.
And again, it's about all these things we've been talking about, especially related directly with the industry night, radio, Team Adeka, just meeting these people,
leading you to,
Everything. Now when you look back, that's when you realize that everything is just building up to something. So when part of the reason why I stopped doing, I got bored with radio is because there was a lot that was going on. Like, you can't say this, you can't speak about this on radio, you can't do this. So there was censorship already happening at that level.
Yeah.
And then I got an opportunity. I had two options of mainstream radio to join after KU Radio. I had a station with there was Hot 96 and there was Kiss. So Hot 96, I didn't follow up the conversation because I got an offer from Kiss.
Yeah.
When Kaleche left and then they rebranded to Kiss in the morning, Shafi and Adele, because Adele used to do mid morning. So when they brought her to
the morning
show, when they were rebranding, I was part of that team. I was essentially supposed to be part of that team.
Okay.
But then I remember having a very vivid conversation with Jimani just about radio and what I was looking to get into. And then I just realized that was in my space. Like, I love radio so much, but the way it's structured in Kenya, it just wasn't my space. So there was a need, but I felt like I need to do something.
Yeah. You know,
I have these things I need to say. I'm so used to having an avenue where I can talk. So that's the idea of, okay, maybe creating my own platform is the way to go
to
now.
Go,
especially
yeah.
now with social media. And that's now where Upside comes about. Because also the people that, the people who were trying to get into me at the time, I think also the thing that I think was the biggest difference maybe between how my mindset and their mindset at the time, most of them, I'm not saying everybody, was that everyone was so focused on, you know, just after uni, radio, getting straight into mainstream media. Some of them did, some of them are still pursuing. And maybe my mindset was at the time was on owning ownership and platforms. Mm. And it's more of, I use this reference with Tafari a lot, is like everyone wanted a seat at the table, but I felt like I wanted my own table.
Yeah.
Maybe the process of creating your own platform, you know, the patience, the time, the resources. Now, maybe that's what most people will avoid, because it's easier to just join a platform that is already established, because it's just plug and play.
From scratch, yeah.
Yeah. So that's where Upside comes about. I have ideas I want to do. I can't find space for them in mainstream radio. I can't deal with the censorship and the whatnot. So I'm like, cool, then we're going to create my, you know, this platform. So I speak, the first person I speak to is Arosh. Because me and Arosh were not like friends when we were on radio. Yeah, I think he didn't like me.
which is surprising, because there's people who are convinced you guys are twins.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so our friendship begins when I call Arosh, because I'm like, I had him on radio. I used to really enjoy him on radio. Mm. I thought he was really interesting, you know. And he was beginning his music. So I was like, yeah, there's this thing called a podcast. It's just like the way we do radio, but now it's just online. I want to do this thing. And I think, I feel like you would be dope on it. You know, can you do it? So we meet. On KU. The uni was opening a TV.
Mm.
Rush and I were part of the guys who were helping to set up the TV
yeah.
station and programming. So that's why we kick it off really well. And then before we realize, he's like, Sawa, me have, there's this guy who's my roommate called Motoria.
Mm.
He has a keyboard. We can't record on the keyboard. And we have one microphone. Yeah, so we go check out the space. They used to live like on a 150th floor, bruh. Those stairs never used
and the
to end.
Stairs never.
Oh my gosh. A Russian Motoria owe me. Ile is
they
never
owe all of us.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I meet Motoria. That's how we meet Motoria. We record our first episode on a keyboard and one microphone. So Rush and I were sharing that microphone. And we didn't have a mixer. You know, keyboards record. So we didn't even have a name for it, or we didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But to look like, let's just record something and see where it goes, you know. Then when we're done recording the first episode, I'm like, shit, so what do we call this?
When was
I
this?
I said something stupid.
When was this?
This is maybe beginning of 2016.
Okay.
Around January. So I say something stupid when I'm thinking about names. And then everyone looks at me, I'm like, I'm just kidding. Then Arosh says, that's the name of the podcast.
Mm.
That's how Just Kidding comes about. Yeah. So Upside comes as a result of
just kidding.
Wanting to do content in my own way, and therefore not finding space for it in my, if you think about like even the shows we've put out so far, it's not a lot, but we are working towards putting out more.
Yeah.
Like Loud, such shows, you can't find space for those shows in the way mainstream media in Kenya works.
Yeah.
Upper season you are Christo Sanas, Ginini, we can't do it's a lot.
Mm.
So that's how Upside comes about.
Okay. Okay.
Mm.
And what have been So what have you learned as a, because you're a founder, basically. What have you learned founding your own thing?
Mm.
Like, what have you learned about, you've already talked about some of the challenges that you sort of led you to start this, but what have you learned as yourself?
Mm.
And what have you learned about building a thing from the ground up?
Mm. Mm. So lessons. I think something that I remind myself all the time is that ownership is very essential.
Mm-hmm.
Ownership of platforms. And even if you look at our industry now, I think we have a lot of issues that we cannot solve properly because of ownership. We don't own platforms. You know, we don't own the Netflixes and the Showmaxes and the whatever.
Mm.
So when we don't have that, whoever has the money calls the shots. So they decide how things are run here. Hollywood is big because they own the whole infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the game, the thing of ownership is the thing that I've had to remind myself a lot. I'm like, it's going, it's not, it's sometimes it feels like it's not necessary because it takes so much time to be like, even upside size, bro. We are barely there, you know. But I'm grateful for the strides we've made.
Yeah.
I think the thing that has been that we've been able to do is maybe just work on things like capacity, work on quality, know how far we can go with what, and that takes time.
Yeah.
So if there's one thing I've learned, bro, is patience. Yeah, like if you just need to build this platform, especially if you have no privilege.
Yeah.
Bro, it's going to take so much time. It's hard. You're going to have to invest a lot of money. You know, you have to look for money, put it back, and without expecting any returns. And there's no promise. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, it could work or not work. There's no guarantee, you know.
But that's also the thing with life. Everything is just... it's just trial and error.
Yeah. The only guarantee we have is death.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of lessons there. There's discipline, you know. There's patience. There's discipline.
Sacrifice.
There's a lot of sacrifice. Yeah. There's a lot of sacrifice. But I think it's worth it because if there's the bigger picture that drives you and there's intention behind it, then you understand that this is not like a sprint. You know, this is like a marathon.
It's a marathon.
Yeah, it's a long race.
It's a slow burn, basically.
Yeah. There you go. It is a very slow burn, and you make progress. I think the thing that I've learned the most about life is if you really want to do something, it's never an issue of resources. Mm. It's an issue of just start. When you start, the right resources come to you.
Yeah.
The right people come to you. Because sometimes you realize that you need networks more than you even need money to get things done, especially when you don't have the money. So there's good lessons in this. And I think there's also, have you ever found joy like in pain? Have you ever gone through like a bad, like you're in a very bad, you're going through something really bad, but you find joy in that?
I think maybe in hindsight.
Yeah.
In hindsight, not when I'm going through the thing.
Not, okay. That's that. I'm like, not, you've never gone through it and you're like, shit.
No, I haven't evolved that much. Yeah, I would prefer not to go through things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So me, I find a lot of joy in pain sometimes.
Mm.
Yeah, and some of the good ideas come from those moments.
Okay.
Yeah. Like there's times you really look for those moments because you want to tap into a space that you are not naturally in.
Mm.
And you want to look back and want to be in a certain space because of what you're able to create during that period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a question I didn't ask you, which is what I should have probably started with when we segued into this. What exactly does Upside Digital do? We've already talked about it being a media platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what exactly, what's your, I don't want to say what's your vision.
Mm. Log line.
Exactly. Let's go with that line.
Yeah. So Upside One is, I want to look at Upside as a community.
Okay.
That's one. And I think that's still what is in our bio. Mm. Is we just want to build this community of people who are able to express themselves the way they want to express themselves.
Yeah.
And the beauty or the talent that we have is through content and production. So the initial idea was just to create content, and then you get to the point where you're like, oh shit, if I can create good content, then that means I can also sell production as a commodity.
Mm.
And that could be money that could help to finance the content that we're producing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are in the space for content, but 100% digital content.
Okay.
I don't think we are working on to do content for TV or manini. Mm. I think that's just 2002 already.
Mm.
That's sort of, yeah. So the world is, clearly we know things, digital space is where everything is happening.
Yeah.
So we are playing in that space. We create content, but also we produce content.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think we have a project that we might be doing in a few weeks, which could be like the first project that we're going to produce for someone else.
Okay.
And they're paying for it, so that's dope.
You'll
know that I'm making money. I'm missing.
So I can call you next week.
I'm missing.
When are they paying you?
I'm missing.
December, November.
I'm missing. So we're in this, we're in the digital
no,
space.
No, Haman and I will call space. You. Don't stress.
We're in the content space. That's yeah. All. Yeah. So we're in the, we are keen on playing the, we being very active in the digital space.
Yeah.
And even now, just speaking to many people, man, just speaking to a lot of people, just trying to figure out how we can plug into these spaces. And so say easy to not after pesa.
Okay. Just call you.
Call me.
Okay.
If you know anyone who needs production, you know me. If I put my foot into it, it has to be dope.
It's 150.
Ring me, bro.
Okay.
Just produce.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
As long as the content in under somewhere digital.
Okay.
Seeing in another TV.
Yeah. Mm. So it has to be digital, basically. Yes. Okay. As we wrap up, based on everything that you've said, I think the lesson that I've picked, the one thing that has stuck with me is the interconnectedness, I think, of life. I don't know how else to say it. Mm. How just one thing leads to another, to another, to another. Mm. And you basically have to trust where you have to trust that you're making the right move, even when everything around you doesn't make sense. True. You know,
yeah.
What would you say is the one thing, sort of like what's your mantra? Yeah, Yako, like what's your mantra based on what you know about life so far?
Always stay ready.
Okay.
So I never have to get ready.
Okay.
Yeah. Just stay ready. Because that's the thing. Because if you think about anything else, they like opportunities are always going to come and go.
Yeah.
But opportunities need to find you when you're ready.
Okay.
You know. So if I stay ready, I plug into any opportunity that I come across. So I don't have to, you know, try to get ready. Yeah. It's like if I was into fitness and I did that professionally. If I'm always working out and I'm always fit, I'm always ready. You know what I mean? I'm always ready. Like I don't need 3 months to do an immense gym, do whatever. So that's my mantra. Like I stay ready. I'm not afraid because again, the beauty of Upside is we want to be able to do things the way we want. So. Again, not being afraid to challenge the norm.
To make mistakes.
Of course. Like, make all those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because you learn from those things. You know, you learn from. There's a lot of lessons in that. It's what you say. Nothing. I don't think anything just happens. Even this moment when you're having this conversation now, it's going to lead to something else.
Yeah.
And it could be something else that we may not even realize, but everything leads to something.
Yeah. Considering we talked about me doing a podcast in 2017,
right? I got tired of your podcast.
Finally,
I'm happy for you. Bro.
Okay. Do I have any other thing to ask you? What's the one thing that you want to? What's the biggest thing in your mind that you want to achieve with Upside as we wrap up?
I think the biggest thing I want to achieve with Upside is, I cannot wait to see a lot of the projects that we still have like on paper just come to life.
Yeah.
And because I just think that we have an opportunity to create like a big impact. And the thing about this space in Kenya is that it's not tapped. You know, it's still like very untapped. And I understand the responsibility that comes with the position that I'm in. But if the biggest achievement would be when we are completely able to set up Upside and we have productions just happening simultaneously and we have just all these people who have all these dope ideas, like Chaxi now, have access to that. Because I'm like, I think there's going to, we'll create a lot. Like you see now the way we are struggling to find things to do now. Like not things to do. Struggling to just find the resources to do things now.
Yeah.
I can't wait to have those resources.
Yeah.
Just have this space where everything is just set up and then I just have all these guys come. Bro.
Okay. So should we
just create magic?
Should we expect an app maybe? One of these days?
We're going to get there.
Okay.
We have to. Yeah, you think of, well, when you think about Netflix and Nini, just think about the next frontier. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the space we're playing.
Sir, thank you so much for talking to us.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning in. See you next time. Bye.